Greetings, citizens of the comedy film world universe. Wait, film world? Well, comedy film nerd?
This from the Watchtower? You're talking from Gotham City?
I already fucked it up. Hello, citizens. I was trying to do a big intro and then I screwed it up. This is dumb.
All right. Well, it's episode 180, Graham.
Yeah. It's our halfway to 360 show.
We're going to get there. Full circle.
The 360 show is going to be great. Today, well, we're just going to kind of stumble
through
it.
We're halfway there. We're just treat it as halfway there.
It is halfway there. No, this is 108. We didn't even think about it. That's a lot of shows.
Yeah, that's not even counting them all because of our horrible numbering system.
Yeah, we have a bunch of unnumbered ones.
We do.
Do you think we're over 200 if we were to count them all?
Oh, no. We're over 500.
No, you're crazy.
No, I'm saying we're over 500. If you add them all together and multiply by 4...
Yeah, so we're over 500. You're out of your mind. You like any of the number of crazy emails we're getting from people wanting to be in the festival.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you want to see the underbelly of society, start some kind of entertainment festival because they're going to come out and say hi.
Yeah. In various forms of media.
In various forms of
media. And mediums.
But there's also a lot of wonderful fans who are going to be out for the LA Podcast Festival, October 4th through 6th.
99% of them are going to be wonderful.
99% of them.
That 1%, you know who you are.
You know who you are. So, yeah, guys, if you haven't already, it's October 4th through 6th, lapodfest.com. And one of the shows that's going to be in the festival, we've got 40-some shows. They've been on our show before, but this is the first time at the podcast festival. Ladies and gentlemen, Keith and the Girl.
Hey.
That's your, your immigrant.
Keith Malley and Kimda. Did I actually? I was really trying hard to get that correct.
Yeah, Keith.
It's yes.
Yeah.
Is that like part of your thing? Did I say Malley correctly? It's not Malay? Okay. That's good to know.
My name is such a problem. We left it off the title. That's A. And also, all new guests I actually have included in that welcome thing. Here's the information we need from you. And by the way, and I pretend like it's not me, Hemda's name is pronounced Hemda. It's a Jew sound. Just ignore that part.
It's a Jew sound.
If you're anti-Jew, it's okay. Come over. I'm an atheist now.
Total atheist. My phone's ringing. We're going to let that go on the ground.
How is the show? How are you guys' show been doing? How's everything in New York?
It's going. We have about 1,850 shows out around there. And then let's see, multiply by 4. What's up there?
Yeah, if you're doing Chris's math, you guys have 10,000 shows.
You have a million shows. That's amazing.
But your month, we're experts.
Yeah.
But we've been doing it over 8 years, still going good. Just put out a new CD that went on iTunes. I do a stand-up show every year. Very happy with everything and very happy to be part of this LA thing.
You guys got a great fan base.
And you started your own network, too. It's now not just Keith and the Girl. It's Keith and the Girl Network, right?
That's right. Yeah, we signed on Mike Kaplan, Micah Fox. My fiance has a show. Keith's best man at his wedding and our mutual friend, Brother Love. Our intern now PA, Danny Hatch. There's a bunch of stuff on there now. And, of course, we have our own spinoff shows. We call them spinoff shows.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you can hear the Keith and the Girl show for free, and then we have a VIP package where you hear all these other shows.
Now, are they considered like prequel shows? That's like you get the story of what happened before the regular podcast?
That's the Keith, the regular Keith and the Girl shows. Actually, our back episodes are in there also. You always get like our latest 10 for free, and then 1,800 and something shows
No
are available.
Way.
And KATG TV, which is our little videos that we've done.
Well, you guys are, it's one of the reasons why we wanted to get you into the festival is because you guys have been doing it so long, and you actually have set up like a business model to where
you're immigrants.
Yes. We need
it's a feel good story.
We do. We got to fill quotas, you guys. Yeah. So
otherwise, we don't get any state money.
Yeah. you guys are one of the shows that have been around so long that you figured out a way to sort of to make money from it.
Yeah,
and
slowly, but yeah.
Yeah, it takes time, and one of the ways you guys just built up an audience over 8 years and you have a pretty loyal fan base, right? Because you guys have done a fair amount of live shows.
Yeah,
that's one of the ways that we connected with our audience and then also learned how to make money. It's really interesting. Our audience basically taught us how to make money by demanding the things that they want and asking for, you know, whatever's in their own interest. And we didn't think that it would go this far. We just thought it would be, you know, kind of what we do on the side to maybe promote other things that we do. Mm-hmm. This is our business. We're in the studio every day. It's absolutely amazing.
That's so cool because I was...
Your daily show.
Yeah, 5 days a week.
Yeah, and live shows, England, Canada, Mexico, Israel.
What?
And then, of course, throughout America.
Well, now, the shows in countries where English isn't the primary language, how do those go? Is it just expats that are there primarily?
You'll be surprised. A lot of people speak English in the world.
Well, no, I understand. No, like, Wait a minute.
It's really caught on. I'm not saying it's number one, God forbid, but it really caught
on. It's not like the metric system. It's the, you know.
Well, you're speaking heresy is what you're doing. No, but I just mean like in terms of references and how comedy, like someone can understand English perfectly, right, but they're going to just miss slang and references and stuff like that.
I think they learn the slang and the references. I think they know more about New York. We're more, you know, New York based. Keith is from Pennsylvania, though. But I think, you know, movies are either pretending to be based in New York or LA most of the time. So references are already there. TV is already referencing everything that we talk about. And I think that if not, they write to us about how they like our New York accents. So I'm like, damn it, I don't want to have a New York accent because I know mine is a Queens accent and that is so lame. So I'm just, I hope you're talking about Keith.
Well, let me ask you this too. Are there, I mean, obviously there's, as I just found out, people who live in other countries and speak English. Yeah. Like, I did not know that.
But that makes sense, right?
Australia too?
They speak English there?
It's weird.
Do you have and I know this is a general question, but is the demographic of those international shows, is it nationals from that country, or do you have some expats that live there and that's why they listen? Because I just know the reason I ask that is because we've gotten emails from people who say, I'm an American living in this country or that country or this country.
There's both.
It's definitely both. And there's definitely some of that, which a lot of it is very military based. They're stationed in so-and-so. And we get so excited when we see our merchandise is being sold and being sent to, you know, an army base or something like that. It's very exciting. Keith was in the army, so that's, you know.
Right on.
I have to thank him on Veterans Day. Seriously, it's like a thing.
Right, but it's not my day. That people don't know this. The apostrophe goes at the end of the S because it's not our day, it's just our honor. So please keep that in mind. It's embarrassing. But I am a veteran. That is true. November 11th.
Never forget.
Never forget. Never forget. And get thrown on the water bottle and leave.
Yes. All those English-speaking foreigners we saved.
Yes. With going to different places and doing live shows, I think you understand the gist of what's going on in general. Like when I watch Ricky Gervais shows that take place in England, there's something I'm missing, I'm sure, but I get it, you know? Like if I listen to an old Woody Allen stand-up, I don't necessarily know the person he's talking about, but the way he's talking about it, I'm like, oh, that was your Justin Bieber. I get it.
Right. Well, let me ask you this then in terms of how easy or difficult is it to set those gigs up? Because like it's not like, you know, in the States there's a comedy club system and theaters and it's kind of easier to sort of, it seems to me like there's a little more of an infrastructure.
How do you just pick a country and say we're doing a show here?
Or does a fan go, "Hey, I run this nightclub in Israel, come do it?" Or
It would be nice if my family knew what I did for a living, cuz most of my family is in Israel, but I don't even tell them what we're doing. But mostly I set up the live shows. It's even hard in New York, you know?
Right.
It's just the setup of live shows is just the hardest thing is to find the venue. But a lot of times if a fan hears we're even thinking about going there, they'll help us out or we'll post on our forums. Because I don't know where the location is. So I could say I'm coming to London, but I will probably book something in some terrible part of town that nobody wants to go to. So I'll say, hey, I found these things. Is any of this a bad idea? And they'll help us out.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you kind of, obviously, well, that's the whole thing with podcasting. You let the fans direct it.
Help us out. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the thing. We can speak directly to our fans. We don't have a boss that says, don't say this and don't say that.
Right.
I mean, we can argue with each other about that's too far or that's, you know, not far enough. But we don't have someone saying, no, don't reach out. We'll do this. You know, we'll get it on our own.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we did a couple of live shows.
Yeah, we've done some live shows.
Set them up.
And we'll say that again. If there's anybody living in wherever, you know, we can't.
You have a thing and a bop.
Yeah, yeah, set up the guy with the stuff. We're not going to come and speak whatever filthy language you speak there. We're going to speak...
But you'll get the gist.
Yeah, we'll speak to God's English, as Jesus intended. did we say we're a hate group? Did we let you guys know that Chris and I are a hate group? All right, well, let's...
Wow, this podcast just shut down the government.
Idiots!
Are you guys having fun with this? I'll tell you something. People are upset you pay your taxes and the government's shutting down. Do you guys understand? You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah,
right
it's
now.
Like the purge.
I kicked the mailman's mail. You know that painting of George Washington that's on the dollar bills now? It's in my house. I don't give a fuck. You can do whatever the fuck. I took a couple bones from a museum. I don't know what they go to. You can do whatever you want.
I went to City Hall and I'm sleeping in it.
Went to the Franklin Mint, took some plates.
Yeah, guess what? It's fair game. This is how Planet of the Apes started, by the way.
A gay friend of mine got married, because fuck it.
Yeah.
You guys are fun with this. I was just doing math. I'm like, between these days and these days, I'm subtracting this from my taxes at the end of the year, just so you know.
You don't have to pay sales tax. Just figure it out. Do the math. They're decent people. They're trying to make a living, but pay them what they deserve, but take away the sales tax.
This is great. It's like that movie, The Purge, where you could just kill people.
By the way, I did see that movie, The Purge, and I know you guys talked about it, but whenever they all had dinner in the beginning, and they go, would you look at the time? The Purge is about to start. Let's go into our safe house. What if somebody got it wrong? Like, say the Purge started at 9 p.m. At 8:55, he goes, oh, we got to lock the doors. Nobody would start it early. You have a family. You don't care them. I'm going to stop at 6 p.m., I think. I would close the doors the day before.
Yeah. I really thought the movie The Purge was about bulimia. It was very disappointing.
Well, that was its focus.
Sequel.
It was a social commentary on bulimia. It's all these people killing each other. It's exactly as the movie
but that,
was.
But that's what the characters weren't saying. That was the subtext.
And at the end, it just goes, eating disorders are real, and there's a website. Yeah. That's how they should have buttoned
it. So the fact that I picked up on it just means I'm deep.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're so amazing.
Oh, my goodness. The Purge is about to start, sweetheart.
Yeah. I know.
Daniel Purge. Let's go. Oh, my goodness.
And there's no way people wouldn't be killing family members. You know what I mean? Like, there's at some point you'd be in your room and you go, well, I could kill my dad.
Yeah.
Or, my wife, a little yappy last week. Bam, taking her out. Or she's just like, I'm sick. I hate my husband.
And the whole neighborhood's cool, by the way, the next day. Like, you killed my wife yesterday.
Hey, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Purge it out. Sorry, kiddo. See you next year.
Can't afford the calories.
Each house would have to have 4 safe rooms.
Yeah.
They have that in Israel.
Yeah. Road trip.
There's no Wi-Fi in there, though, so just keep that in mind.
What?
Yeah.
Then you can't watch The Purge.
Yeah. That's stupid.
Well, let's talk about, should we do snag films first?
Yes, of course we should do snag films.
We
have a good idea here.
Yeah, yeah.
That was given to us by someone at this table.
Yes.
You choose who.
Yeah. And to give you a hint, wasn't Graham or I.
Or Keith. Yeah. But we're going to let you pick.
Oh, great. The one that they can't pronounce.
Yeah. I know. We're like, why couldn't Keith come up with a goddamn idea?
Now this is a great idea, and this ties in exactly what we need to do, and it also saves us a fair amount of time because we've got a lot to get through in 4 minutes to get to show 360.
Yes.
Snag Films, as you guys know, we've been promoting them. We're going to be with them for the next couple months, and it's an amazing site. It costs you nothing. We always say to support the podcast, buy something in the store. If you can't afford to buy something in the store, support our sponsors, and this is a great way to do it. Go to Snag Films. .com/comedyfilmnerds. You can get there from any ad on our site. You could click there, sign up, and you can watch films for free. There's a lot of great movies on there. There is a lot of great docs. In fact, one of the movies I want to talk about right now is one of the movies I saw. They have classic movies too. And I saw a movie called The Terror. And now, by definition, not a good movie. The Terror. It was an old horror movie, but what was fascinating about these movies is you can actually see almost like a moment in time in filmmaking when a lot of these movies were made. I believe it was, if you look it up, the Terror, I think it was 60s or 70s, might have been early 70s. The thing that was most fascinating about this movie is you got to see an actor at the start of his career and an actor at the end of his career.
Oh, I love that.
This movie starred Boris Karloff and Jack Nicholson. That's why
that's so great.
It's an amazing movie to watch to see. All right, here's a guy just starting, and it's directed by Roger Corman. So it was one of those old school horror movies that takes itself way too seriously.
Mm. Yeah, it came out in
1963. Yeah, and to see Boris Karloff, clearly at the end of his career, and Jack Nicholson at the beginning of his career. But what's also fascinating is, as a show that indulges in bad accents periodically, you have Jack Nicholson is a French soldier in the 1700s.
Hello, I'm from Paris,
So, you know, he goes to the castle of Boris Karloff.
And Boris Karloff's
and he's like from Transylvania. That's the only way he speaks.
He's like, hey, man, get out of my Transylvanian castle. Get out of there. Hey, scatter. Hey, get out there.
And,
get out there. These are authentic accents, folks. And Google them.
His valet, you know, his servant.
And he's all like,
Boris Karloff, you know, this is 1700s.
Where's he from?
He's from Brooklyn.
Oh, he's from Brooklyn. So he's like, oh, Mr. Boris Karloff, I help you out. Right? That's a Brooklyn accent.
That's exactly right.
East side of Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah. In a 1960s Brooklyn accent.
I just used SoundHound to see what these accents are. It's not showing me anything.
Wow, your app must be off. Yeah.
That's a little crazy.
You need OS 7.
So it's great. It's one of those movies that you go, all right, well, this isn't a great movie, but it's fascinating to watch. You're just going to watch. I'm like, this is how they made schlocky horror movies.
And you know Boris Karloff was just like, okay, I'm going to need the money up front. And nobody looks me in the eye. And someone needs to walk my dogs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was one of those shoots where he's...
And Jack Nicholson's like, oh, I'm so glad to get the work.
Yeah, Jack, I'll do whatever. Boris Karloff, they're like, call time, Mr. Karloff, is 6 a.m. No, it's noon. That's when I'm showing up, and then you're going to shoot before then. And they went, yes, sir, Mr. Karloff.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Jack Nicholson will walk your dogs.
Yeah.
And he's all, I'm walking your dogs, I am, mate. Right down to the Louvre.
So it's and I love the fact too that there's no attention to detail at all with the production design, because they're on a beach, they're in a forest, and once he goes from the beach to the forest, how do I get to the giant castle? Never mind, I'll find it myself. I'm like, really? You can't find a giant castle when there's nothing else in the landscape?
Wow, there's a giant castle. It looks like it's in Burbank.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Or it's painted onto a cliff.
The Paramount Black backlot. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And
associate producer, Francis Coppola.
Exactly. So this is another reason where you can actually see filmmaking history unfold in front of you.
Right. And people going, you just took Monty Hellman.
And look, Monty Hellman.
Wow.
Location director.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, here's one of the things we're going to do, guys, with Snag Films. If you can get other people to sign up, obviously, if all of you got like 10 people to sign up, that would really help us. So one of the things we're going to do, but we're going to give away, if you live in Los Angeles or are going to be in Southern California this weekend, we're going to give away a festival pass to the Los Angeles Podcast Festival for the entire weekend. What we need you to do is sign up to Snag Films at snagfilms.com/comedyfilmnerds, and then find a movie that you like, and then there's a share button at the top, and you can share it to Facebook and tag Comedy Film Nerds and Chris and I, and then Chris, that enters you into the contest, and then Chris and I will choose somebody, we'll pick, like, this is our favorite movie that you did, and you will get a festival pass this weekend.
And you need to do it in the next 48 hours.
Do it now. The clock is running. Festival starts.
And go.
And festival starts at 7 o'clock on Friday the 4th.
But if you do it after that, they'll like that post. So you get a like.
Yes, we'll like your post.
It's still worth something, seriously.
And if you do that afterwards, you know, maybe we'll send you a little swaggy something or other. You never know. Might be some swag coming in the mail to you.
You really never know.
We've got a lot of swag.
We do.
So do that, guys. Go to snagfilms.com/comedyfilmnerds and share it to your Facebook page and tag us, tag Comedy Film Nerds. If you haven't already, like the Comedy Film Nerds fan page. It's a great way to watch movies, share them with your friends, talk about it, and have a chance to win a weekend pass valued at $99.
And if you want to talk about The Terror, that's included too.
You got to talk about The Terror.
If one of you actually saw it and had some other things to add.
Well, and in the post, there's young Jack Nicholson on a horse on the same beach where they shot that's got to be the same beach where they shot the Statue of Liberty scene at the end of
yes.
Planet of the Apes. Spoiler alert! So that's cool. Yeah, like I just watched Biggie and Tupac, and you can post that. So do that, you guys. That's a fun way mm-hmm. to help us and talk movies. And
they're in this
tonight.
Movie too.
Yeah, Biggie and Tupac. Wow. They were. Wow.
They're in the castle.
Yeah, they're in the castle. They're
no one
the
talks castle. About this.
I know, no one does. They're like, "LA, we were gonna cash it. We do. We're gonna start hip hop and start a war. We will." So it's very fascinating. So check that out, you guys. All right, let's get into talk about some other movies.
Can I mention this real quick?
Yes, sir.
The guest you had on recently, Ricky.
Mm-hmm. Ricky Lindholm.
Ricky Lindholm. After I masturbate to you, I only use your first name. I saw the movie Last House on the Left. Uh-huh. And she was saying how, you know, some people tweet her and rate her like, you know, creepy things. So I'm not going to tweet her. I'll just tell you guys. It is fucking sexy. It's a rape scene. And I'm in
well,
Last
that
House
already
on the
sounds
Left.
Creepy.
Right. Yeah, but, yeah. I'm masturbating and people are like saying, you know, I'm sick. But it's not a true story. They made it sexy. She deliberately put on a sexy, evil look. She tried to get me to do this. And she did it. And it's A+, and she's the best. Was she sitting here? She's probably sitting right there, right?
That's the creepiest shout out to one of our past episodes we've ever had.
I want to say probably the greatest actress of our generation.
But not unexpected.
Yeah, I would like to point out that you guys didn't ask Keith. Yeah. And that he insisted, and you were about to move along, but he needed to tell you that he masturbated to rape. So
it's just funny what a small world it is.
Let me tell you something. We all do it. Just shush.
No, I don't know. Do we all do it?
But again, it's not a true story. She did it, and she should know she did a great job.
Folks, this is some of the hijinks you're going to get with Keith and the girl at the LA Podcast Festival, him crossing the line, her reeling him back.
Well, you know, one of the greatest things an actor can convey is empathy with the audience.
I was so empathetic. All
he's
over.
Wow.
That was an amazing spin. That was an amazing spin.
I tried. I really tried.
Wow, you pulled this out. That was amazing save. That was so great.
She's a spinner.
We're going to move along.
Yeah. I believed her character.
Good for you. Yeah. Thank you, Ricky Lindholm. They just announced her show. By the way, that IFC picked up the Garfunkel and Oates show. Mm-hmm. And so what we're going to do, we have a little 8-minute segment of her talking about it that we couldn't put in last week's episode because she wasn't allowed to talk about it before IFC announced it. So that'll maybe be a little bonus we'll put out there. A little 8 right. minutes of bang
and
bang.
We'll give it directly to Keith.
Yeah.
I look forward to enjoying it.
Keith can be a weirdo with that.
Yeah.
Yep. Keith just finished enjoying it, so we can move on.
So what movie do we want to start with?
Let's start with Rush because that came out a couple weeks ago.
Oh, but before we do Rush, we'll say Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2. Mary Ellen Hooper has a written review on the site. For
okay,
it,
great. So and it took the week. It did $34 million.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Obviously, what did you see the first one?
Actually, my daughter saw it and I saw it. We saw it here in the garage. So I was working. I didn't see the whole thing, but she loved it.
All right.
So she actually really enjoyed it. I glanced over and it actually looked kind of fun, but I can't say I saw the whole thing. I only saw the food coming out of the sky. That was it.
I did see the review on your site, and it's a great review, and people should definitely check it out. I guess the beginning of Meatballs 2, they quickly fill you in from the first meatballs, so you'll understand what's happening.
Yeah, you won't be lost.
Thank God. Because the title is so ambiguous.
Does your daughter think that meatballs will come out of the sky now? Like, does that kind of thing really happen?
No. She's
holding her spaghetti up.
Yeah.
Daddy, get a plate!
Yeah. She's more interested in that voiceover talent was in those Disney shows I watch. Now she actually tracks.
Wow.
Sharp kid.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Well, let's talk about Rush. All right. So that was, that came out. Ron Howard did this movie, Chris Hemsworth, Daniel Brühl, and Olivia Wilde. So you guys both saw it, or one of you saw it? Or
We both saw it, and I went with my fiance. Mm.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. I'm really excited. I don't know how to...
For the movie?
I don't know how to respond to the congratulations, and so I just get goobery, and then luckily I'm a girl, so people just go, what a girl. And then I'm just like, that's not what I meant. I'm just happy. Okay, anyway... The last time I think we went to see a movie in the theater was the last time we had to be on this show.
Perfect.
Once a year, we get you out of the house. That's so great.
I am the worst, and so I'm surprised. I like watching movies, but I'll usually sort of wait, and I'll wait a long time. But I'm surprised. So there were two other people in the theater with us. Two other people. And so I started.
It was also the Breaking Bad finale, if that had anything to do with it.
Right. Okay. But I saw it at 11 and Breaking Bad was at 9.
Well, you gotta take it all in. Sure. It takes a couple hours.
Right. You gotta start blogging. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there was that. And then I didn't know what Rush was about at all because I don't like watching trailers. I feel like they're spoilers. You know, generally they give me the twist and everything. So there are commercials before in the theater when you watch it, there are commercials before. And I'm just like, okay, this is about cars. Lauren tells me this movie is about cars. Yeah, so the ad is about cars. I'm like, are they showing me the trailer right before I watch it? And so I'm sitting with my ears closed like, la, 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 la. I can't watch this. No spoilers.
And now you can't buy a Ford.
Yeah. You'll never be able to buy that ever again.
Would you like to look at this Butte, ma'am? What is it? The house is too small.
But there were like 10 ads for other movies coming out.
This is news to her because she hasn't been to the movies in so long. Like, listen, guys, they have commercials now for other movies.
It used to be about popcorn and jujube. Right.
I call them, I don't know, lack of a better word, trailers. And they show these to you. 15, 20 minutes they show them to you. But yeah, Mahinda's right. Sometimes they repeat the same trailer.
Right.
It's pretty.
Well, it's so rare for them. I saw the trailer for Gravity.
When they were trying to distract you from seeing the actual movie.
Right. But I mean, we've talked about this a million times, how they give you way too much information in trailers now. The best trailer out there is the trailer for Gravity. I've seen it several times. I've seen several different versions. That movie with Sandra Bullock and George Clooney, it comes out this weekend. It's amazing. It tells you just enough to go, holy shit, it's just a movie about people trapped in space. And you're just like, how do they get out of this? How is this?
I worry she's just going to float around for 2 hours.
That's it. 2 hours, her just going, I can't get down.
The Earth.
There's Florida, Cape Canaveral. I'm right by.
All right, another flashback.
So that's a great trailer. But all right, so anyway, you're in there. You see Rush.
There was one more. There was a trailer where they gave away that the guy is an undercover cop. The twist. What? God. I will find out when I go see it.
I know.
Okay. Anyway, so.
And people give it's like when people give spoilers and they give this time. Like, I'm highly intelligent and I can figure out what you're giving away. Why do you feel you even have to? No, I'm not going to give anything away. But the guy you see first on screen, it's important what he does. I'll just say that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I know.
That's why out of 2 hours, you picked him to be in the trailer. We get it.
There's certain clips in trailers that happen. I'm like, well, there's the guy running down the boat. And I go, it looks like a final scene. Yeah. And then as the movie unfolds, you're like, oh, the boat's where the drugs are. So he must be, that's how the movie's going
to
end.
The new Tom Hanks movie with Captain Phillips, they showed a scene. And I'm like, so I know that's, they trap him in that small boat, put him in the water. I'm like, it looks like he gets out of the boat.
Yeah.
Because I see him swimming.
Right.
And the thing is, I don't think that's how people pick their films. I think that you like certain genres.
Right, or
I think
actors.
You like certain actors, certain directors. I think if you just tell me, this is going to be very gory, kind of funny, and have like a pretty good ending, that's the trailer.
That's all you need. It should be a tease.
90% of the time, those trailers are incorrect and fuck it up. Mm. Like another one is that horror movie that just came out, You're Next. They showed it just like, well, it's a slasher movie. And it wasn't. It was a tongue-in-cheek kind of like an Evil Dead kind of, it had a lot of humor in it.
The movie poster looked like, it's just another Saw movie, or something like that.
Right. Because that's another thing, like you were saying, they will put out different trailers at different times. So they'll test out a trailer where, okay, this is a love interest movie. That doesn't do very well. So they'll take other parts and say, this is more about a guy who's a real jerk and he's, you know, a playboy and things like that. And I will see the original trailer, then the trailer 6 months later, and I'm like,
these are two different movies.
Right.
It is.
Yeah. Or they'll do this thing, like, and they do this a lot with blockbusters, which drives me nuts. 6 months out, 9 months out, they give you this little teaser, and you're like, oh, Superman, they're redoing Superman. And then the weeks leading up to the release,
you see half the movie.
You see half the movie. They show you a trailer, like, oh, there's, I get it. Okay. I know what happens.
Now I know what happens in the next, 70 minutes of this movie.
Yeah, I know everything is going to happen.
Thrillers are the worst. I mean, they're like, okay, yeah, like you said, I don't need to know the twists. Give me the setup. That's all I need. I will determine if I want to see this movie or not from your premise.
That's how they did trailers, though, in the 70s. Sometimes, like, if I talk about them, we happen to talk talk about a movie on Keith and the Girl, I'll put an old trailer up. And I just happened to put up Midnight Express. And just the words come up. This guy says the scariest movie you'll ever see. Oh, yeah. And the background is an asylum. Yeah. And it's this I mean, it's a terrible ad, but it doesn't give anything away. This person tried to steal drugs in Thailand.
And it tells you what the movie is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you're just like
the trailer for the terror. I mean, the trailer for the terror, like, oh, okay, I know exactly what this movie is.
I'm on board. So what do you think of Rush?
It was long. And I didn't know who to root for, which I liked, because I thought they both had, you know, really annoying, obnoxious...
The two race car drivers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought they were both obnoxious, and I wouldn't want to hang out with either one of them. But I thought, ooh, I don't know who I want to win. And then I realized, duh, everyone knows the ending because this is a true story. But I kind of liked that I didn't know the true story.
Do you have
it was like Lincoln.
Yeah, it's like watching Lincoln.
I'm so lucky that I enjoy these movies more than most people because I did not pay attention in school. Everything's new to me. Yeah. I'm like, they couldn't be in the Olympics? Like, that was new to me.
You know that
Lincoln did the Civil War thing? He won it? He won the whole thing?
This is why they like him.
That's why he's on the nickel or the five or the what? The $5 bill?
I did have that kind
of
moment.
He's on the penny.
Penny and the, five.
It's not like I follow race cars, but at some point they're like, Mario Andretti. And I'm like, I know that person. Yeah.
I ended up rooting for him.
Well, part of it.
Not even a character.
Well, part of it is, though, just because America is more of an indie car. Like, Formula One is not that big here. It's huge in Europe. Formula One, like, we're all indie car.
I thought it was big here, like, more in the South, maybe Middle
America.
No,
that's NASCAR. Like, this is specific type. Formula One is that specific type of...
It's a big difference. I don't think you understand. The cars are a different shape.
She doesn't know about cars, okay? She didn't see the ad.
I am so dumb right now. Oh, my God. Thank you for clearing that up. Ferrari? Yeah. So I'll take one. Okay.
Do you have a distinct opinion either way on Ron Howard? Are you like, I love his movies, I hate him, or are you...
No, I don't go by names at all. In fact, if they could just restart everything, that would really make me happy. Maybe it's different with directors because
What do you mean restart?
And I know that Ron Howard was not in the movie, but I think like Tom Cruise should no longer do any movies. I think people should just restart. Let's get all new people in here so that we don't have to predict, like, so we don't have a prediction, so that we don't know anything that's coming.
So J.J. Abrams shouldn't be doing both Star Trek and Star Wars, is what you're saying?
Do you really think
Do you think Hendon knows the difference?
She thinks NASCAR and Formula One are the same goddamn thing.
She might not know who has the force.
All right. Yeah. She's not going to know what an Ewok or a Tribble is. Going to have no goddamn
idea. She's going to expect Spider-Man and Batman in the same movie.
Yeah, it's just madness.
Oh, you know what? They're going to do that and you people will go.
Fuck yeah. I will be so hollow. Yes, of course.
There you go.
If she tells you she agrees Han shot first, she's faking the funk.
Hey! I learned that through your show.
And we have a painting that Dean Haglund had for us.
So what did you think of it, Keith?
Well, I was upset that the hammer wasn't used a lot in this movie from Thor. You know what? Just see the trailer. It's a good trailer. Don't look for a man who drives around in circles risking his life for normalcy. You're an asshole. Asshole. He's in first place. He's in second place. First place. He wins. Oh, God. When I was in that hospital, I saw you went to winning these races, and that encouraged me. Here they are, neck and neck. The end. So with the trailer, you don't understand who wins at the very end. It's okay. I'm with Kenda. I wasn't rooting for either of these pretentious assholes.
So would you say this movie is really more of a remake between the rivalry of Speed Racer and Racer X?
You know what?
It's the prequel.
I'm going to say yes, assuming that makes sense. You guys always have an angle. No, it's too long. Movies don't need... It's 2 hours and 3 minutes. I know it's only 3 minutes longer than 2 hours, but in general... Movies don't need to be 2 hours. If a friend's telling you a story, you get bored around 2 hours, right? No movie has to be the greatest movies, right? The Godfather, even. It doesn't have to be so long. Deer Hunter, it's like they got a deal on a wedding scene, so they decided the first disc should be them at a wedding. No, they're at a wedding. They love each other. There's no tension.
The first laser disc.
It's 20 minutes of Russian roulette. An hour and a half of a wedding. No movie has to be 2 hours. The end.
They got a deal on a wedding scene.
Yeah.
We got this Russian Orthodox church. We got to use it.
Yeah.
Look at all these dresses and guys 20, doing weird 20 dances.
20 minutes on Russian roulette, an hour and a half on a wedding. We what got, do you think the message is there?
We got 48.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Well, I saw this as well.
So good, right?
And here's what I would say to it.
If you were talking to the movie, this is what you would say to it.
Can I say this first real quick?
Sure.
I didn't even, like, I picture people are watching, I figure I'm going to be on the show and talk about it, and maybe this is going to be a movie where I'll go, the cinematography, I guess I'll give you that. I was at my dad's house, and my parents' house, and we're terrible at communication, so I turn on whatever's on TV. It happens to be NASCAR. I never got into racing. But just like they hype people up for the Super Bowl, and you don't have to be into football to get into it. You get into the right. They give you some backstory, right. This kind of thing. Even I would watch the Kentucky Derby. It's 2 minutes long. I watched the pre-stuff, and they slow. It's sexy. They show like this leather saddle going on a horse, and dust flies up, and you get into it. My point is, I'd watch this race, couple crashes, couple explosions. It was more exciting visually than this movie.
Really?
To me.
Here's what I would say. I agree it was too long.
Okay.
Now, I like Ron Howard's movies, and Chris obviously does not, so this is one of these...
Worst director ever, but go ahead.
Wow. A lot of fuck scenes in this. It is funny to go, that's Opie.
Well, yeah.
Opie said, go down on her.
Yeah. Well, it's... and whistle that song.
I'm sure that's exactly what the actors were thinking,
well,
too.
Well, yeah.
It's like, oh, Meathead's giving me another direction.
That's exactly what they thought.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's what he was hoping for in his career.
That's what. So it is too long. I personally did like a lot of the driving footage. I thought he did a good job of capturing this sort of slow-mo excitement and getting you close into it. I did like that. I did like watching these two guys because I didn't know much about them, and it's Chris Hemsworth who is just becoming a big name guy. Like, I agree with what you're saying. Like, I'm glad it wasn't Tom Hanks or somebody or whatever. Tom Hanks, what is he, 90? But you know what I mean? Like, they needed a young blonde dude and you know, he's...
And James Vanderbeek said no.
And James Vanderbeek said no.
But they showed what the guys looked like at the end, and I'm like, wow, they really looked like them.
They did a good job. Yeah. And they cast this guy to play the German and, you know, I thought it was interesting and to see how they fought with each other and how they were completely different personalities. I thought that was interesting. I think, Chris, knowing the things you do not like about Ron Howard, you
like
might,
his directing.
Like you might actually be okay with this movie.
I want to see it.
And the way you said to me about The Hobbit, because you know I hate all those movies, and I have no... You were like, Graham, you actually might... This Hobbit, you might actually kind of enjoy, and I sort of did. But I think this will be the your least hated Ron Howard movie.
Nope, that's Night Shift.
Oh, that's a good movie.
That is a good movie.
That's a good film.
Well, I agree with you on Rush. Here's the thing. The whole time I'm thinking, wow, the characters, the actors are doing so well with the characters, the emotion that the characters are portraying with very little words, the like you said, the scenes inside the car spinning out, everything was done so well. And the whole time I'm thinking, why am I bored? And I felt bad
because
everyone was doing their job so well. You really caught on to everything. I'm like, what could they cut? I turned my head at the hospital scene. I don't know why I need to see that.
You know what? You actually hit on it. That is my biggest problem with Ron Howard's directing.
What's
it's
that?
Completely soulless. Mm. When you watch the way he puts together scenes, it's like a robot is putting them together. There's no passion and there's no just like, oh my God, I'm so engaged in this scene.
Yeah,
and
that's, even though he's getting it right, you know, somebody who's
technically
very robotic,
he's getting
like
it right.
That,
it, yeah.
Yeah, he would do all those things. Those mannerisms were really good.
That's actually a good
charisma.
Nickname for him, robot director.
Well, let's be honest, Chachi had the passion.
Yeah.
Well, I love Chachi.
Yeah.
Love Joni or whatever. Yeah, whatever yeah, that they, stupid show was.
They got a spinoff.
I like that a movie's a true story. That kid, I still think Fargo's a true story. I don't care what people are saying.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
You say it's based. A true story. Mm-hmm. Right? I get into it. Right. There's a place called Minnesota.
So it's Twilight.
Twilight's a true story. Yeah. Then, oh, okay. See, that's what you see. I'm in.
I like a wolf kid.
but it's like some of these true story movies, they seem like that. I mean, I don't need the movie to be any longer, but they just touch on these points. The one guy gets married. There's one fight where he's drunk. He says some nasty words. She leaves. Marriage is over. So I'm like, I guess he gets drunk all the time and yells at her worse.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's a fair criticism of this. And
thank
I,
you.
And of what you're saying too is this how
he was totally pointing at me,
Ron.
We feel like when we get something right about a movie, we feel like the pros are going. You are correct on that. It's just an opinion, no right or wrong answer, but you are correct.
Yeah.
But I think that it kind of goes to your point about Ron Howard's direction, which is, and I think this is a pitfall of doing any sort of biopic, which is directors can fall into this. Oh, we got to have this scene and that, and it's almost just like a paint by numbers of, well, we got to see the fight with the spouse and we got to see the behind the scenes before the big thing. And you know what I mean? Like they are just sort of pick these same beats. And I think this movie kind of did that. It was just sort of a pacing. It's not awful. Like I wasn't like,
yeah, that's the thing. I don't
so you
be
thought
like
it was just kind of mediocre. It was in the middle.
It's okay. I mean, you just, I didn't walk out of it mad. Like what the fuck? That was
no
insulting.
Oscar talk.
I don't think you can get, I mean, I think Hemsworth, they'll make a push because Hollywood loves the new, young, good-looking whatever, so they're going to push this guy hard. Mm-hmm. And he is a good actor, but I think seeing the slate of movies that are coming out, the Oscar type, I think there's a bunch of amazing films coming out, and so this one is going to be... It's not going to be there at the end.
Also, if they were going to pick it for an Oscar, it would be a huge part of it would be the hospital scene and how he overcame.
Sure.
But you can't show that clip in the Oscars. It is disgusting.
Yeah. That guy, actually, that actor might get a Best Supporting nomination, the guy that played the German, because he's
what else is he gonna play?
Give what else is he gonna play? It might be sort of like what Christoph Waltz. I mean, honestly, that's a different. I mean, but in terms of a guy that most American people have never heard of, who's a solid actor in Germany that got this role and did a lot with it, he might get some a nod. I don't know. I think it's gonna be a really competitive. Mm-hmm. We got to move on, but let's talk to another film that I'm sure they're wanting it. To get Oscar talk was Prisoners. Now, did either one of you guys see this?
I did.
Okay.
I did not. What's it about, you guys?
Well, it's about 2 hours, 30 minutes.
So we already know Keith has a problem. Yeah. Every movie should be 4 to 8 threshold. Minutes.
Yeah. When I see a movie is an hour and a half, that excites me. When it's even less, even better. But coincidentally, those movies are never good at all.
Right. If they're too short sometimes.
But I'm like, but I'd love to write you. You're not forcing it. You're not making it longer. Prisoners, I liked it, and then I thought it got a little long at the end. Without giving anything away, what happens to Hugh Jackman with the one person, and then the thing happens, and then he's under the Like, do you watch this? Like, Prisoners, and who's the prisoner, and who's
he's
doing
totally
bad things
to him. Didn't watch it. He's lying.
This Prisoners, right? Okay. Webster's Dictionary defines prisoner as...
Patrick McGowan.
Yeah.
So
some guy wants to get out of a place that he can't.
Well, I'm gonna, You take it from there, Graham.
Yeah.
I don't want to repeat what you're probably going to say. But I did realize this is what I'm trying to say. I'm one of these assholes where like somebody's getting prisonered, and I would turn to my wife and go like, if that ever happens, you fight. You don't go with him because what are you going to do if you drink that poison like they're making you? You fight back, but they have a gun. Whatever. Don't let him put you in a hole. Don't let him put you in a hole.
Totally. Okay. I've had that discussion with Lauren. Like anytime there's
like I took classes.
But anytime there's some kind of terrifying thing where it's, you know, they took the wife, it's like, you just kick and kick until you can't kick anymore. And then you keep kicking. I'm like, okay.
So, I mean, I felt the same thing. Like, it was two and a half. It was a little long.
Yeah.
But the performances in it.
I agree.
Hugh Jackman.
But now, how was like the story progression? Did the story move along at that?
I think the story progression was, I thought they did a very interesting job, and I personally liked the movie, mm-hmm. and it's a creepy film.
Neil really liked it, too. He has a review on the site.
When you watch it, you're just like it's creepy, and you...
Makes you uncomfortable.
It makes you so uncomfortable mm-hmm. because...
Not just because Paul Dano's in it.
Oh, God. He's uncomfortable in everything.
It's one of those actors that, like I said,
the
mentally handicapped
kid?
Yeah.
It's, every time he's on screen, he makes you uncomfortable. His presence on screen makes you uncomfortable.
And the actor who's in the Dark Knight movies, who plays another like creepy guy in Prisoners, like they hired every creep-faced actor out there. And then
let me describe the first guy you were talking about. What's his name again, the kid?
Paul Dano.
This is what he looks like, just so you guys know.
Yeah, that's his right? whole
that's
yeah.
his face.
That's his yeah. whole thing. That's his whole shtick.
Yeah, and it doesn't like you said, it doesn't matter what movie he's in, he projects that from There Will Be Blood to right. anything else he's in. It just you're like
it's very much worth seeing. You gotta know you're gonna be uncomfortable with it. But it's mm-hmm. all solid. Like Jake Gyllenhaal plays this obsessed detective.
Hey, what's the deal? Jake Gyllenhaal, they give him an eye twitch.
Are we calling him Gyllenhaal now?
Oh, I always mispronounce names.
Oh, right.
That's I thought it was deliberate. I thought maybe like you knew it's wrong, but you do it deliberately. Like, you guys don't know how I know.
I just
Jake Gyllenhaal is in this movie, Jakey. But he has this eye twitch that they give him, and it's never explained. It bugs the shit out of me. It's bothering my eyes.
Well, to me, I personally liked that because it was like, he got that twitch from... Some like he's got PTSD or right. he's just been in crazy fights as
and
a
why
cop.
Why does he have so many tattoos? He doesn't seem like he's working undercover.
Yeah, like he's.
Did they go through his backstory? No, that already sounds like that guy's got a lot of history yeah. just from what you just said.
I'm curious of that.
They just gave you a taste of it, which I personally found intriguing. But I could see why you'd be like, what the fuck? Why did you introduce that?
So you're saying he has a twitch, tattoos, and an eye patch?
No, there's no eye patch. Okay. He never said that. There's no Captain Crunch references at all.
What I heard
and a wooden leg. Got it. Okay.
No, I'm not. You're not.
I heard you guys want the movie to be longer with this backstory.
Right. Wait, it'd be like if maybe one of the wives in the movie was missing a leg and they never acknowledged it. It might be important to the story and how bad the husband wants to fight for it. And they're just like, but everybody has problems in real life. We don't know all their stories.
I don't think that's true. I think that when they don't tell a backstory, it's just... This is what that guy's like. I think people with tattoos, people with certain extreme. I mean, you know, I don't have any tattoos. I'm not saying every tattooed person is.
You're
like
saying
this,
all tattooed people are twitchy weirdos. That's what we're saying.
And have an eye patch at home.
Yeah. Chris is really pushing this eye patch agenda hard.
It just makes sense.
He's going to get an eye patch in this movie one way or another.
Yeah.
I just feel like they're telling you this guy's had this kind of life, stereotype him. Do you know what I mean? Use the context clues to draw that, you know, he got that eye twitch from something that's not comfortable.
Yeah.
You can't tell everybody's story.
I think he got up one morning, was going to use eye drops. He grabbed the ear drops. Oops, now he's got a problem for life.
Oh, you know something you did?
I can relate. Very painful.
But it's... All the supporting actors are great. Viola Davis, Terrence Howard are amazing, and how they show like the unraveling. Because basically, this is all just stuff from the trailer. I'm not. They're friends. Hugh Jackman and Maria Bello are married. Viola Davis and Terrence Howard are married. Their families are friends. They have kids together. And
God, spoiler.
Oh, sorry, neighbors. And their two little kids get abducted. So then the whole movie is how do they find them and what do they do? And Paul Dano's a suspect, and Hugh Jackman flips out, basically. And
he's Wolverine. He's got the rage.
He's nuts. He's got metal in his bones.
He doesn't use the Wolverine powers at all. That's the problem with these movies.
He could have found that kid in a minute.
Just like Thor, fly to the end of the race. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Use your hammer, knock that German out. So I don't know. It's Melissa Leo's in it. It's a really good film. It's be ready for 2.5 hours of being uncomfortable and creepy. Like you're gonna walk out of it like it's kind of like that film,
The Master.
The Master made you uncomfortable, or a lesser known movie, The Pledge with Jack Nicholson.
Or knowing that Keith masturbates to rape.
Right, that is, I'm really,
that's like, 2.5 hours.
I'm going to have an eye twitch after this episode. And I'm going to start getting neck tattoos just because I can't deal with society anymore. So yeah, I personally would recommend this film. And I think it's, I think some of these people are going to get Oscar nods, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Someone's going to get something in there because it's just too solid of a film.
But yeah, I more liked it than I disliked it.
Right, right.
Just like 2/3 of the movie, just go home.
Just go home. All right. What else?
I wanted to talk about a movie I saw. This is a low-budget horror movie that's in limited release and also on demand called Bad Milo.
Let me guess. Superman's in it, but he doesn't use his powers.
Right. That's the actual Superman movie that was just here. He doesn't use his power of speech that he doesn't use.
He just mopes around with a beard.
Yeah.
And by beard, I mean a woman, so they don't know he's gay.
So this movie, now Keith, this is already going to put this movie in your favor, 80-some minutes long.
Oh, bing, bang, boom. Someone's on a bad Milo train.
And you know what? Doesn't feel short. You know, it feels like this is exactly how long this movie should be.
Don't even say all aboard. I've been aboard 2 hours ago.
So the premise of this movie, this is a horror comedy, and we were talking about this before with movies like Hell Baby and stuff. If you approach horror comedies like a sketch comedy or anything like that, it loses something. It's not the way to approach it. This movie approaches it more like a horror movie, like those old 80s movies like Gremlins and Critters and all of those, and then the humor comes from there, and that's what actually makes this movie kind of funny. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, it has enough gore in it, too, to satisfy people. So, basically, a guy, regular schmo, under a lot of stress. Constantly under a lot of stress.
Mm. We
stress,
can all relate.
Yes. Oh. Every man. And and the stress manifests, then, as a creature that comes out of his ass. And then goes around and kills people. And it's explained in the world as raccoon attacks.
Oh, my God.
So these people are brutally mauled and
true
mutilated.
Story.
And the news is showing just like a raccoon, a rabid raccoon. It's like, that's what's killing people. And
oh, my farts are in the shape of squirrels.
Yeah.
So that's what's weird about movie.
It's a gang of
maybe that's
of
like the girl fart is a squirrel and the guy fart.
And it's got some really funny people in it, some really funny performances in it. It's like it's that nod and wink to the camera that you're supposed to have in horror comedies. Like, it's probably the best horror comedy since Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Yeah, it's definitely...
that was a good one.
That was, and it has that same kind of vibe to it.
Oh my God! And at some point, does somebody go, "What's up your ass?"
They don't, and that's what actually.
What? How do you make that film without not that line?
And that's what actually makes this movie watchable is that they don't go for the obvious jokes. And
crop dusting.
Yeah, there's a lot of jokes where the monster like comes back and is like, "All right, well, he's got to go back up now." You know that, and he's like, "Oh, he's not gonna. He's too big." He's like, "He'll figure it out." You know that kind of thing, and it actually, and the thing I liked about it too is that for him to actually control this creature, then he has to bond with it. He has to like become friends with it. So there's some great bonding scenes with this little monster that are absolutely hilarious. So.
It looks like a fairly new director, Jacob Vaughn, who
has
done a lot of shorts.
Is it a home run? No. But it's a fun kind of horror comedy B-movie that I would really recommend if you check it out on DVD or whatever. And it did make me laugh. It was really funny in parts.
You should get in touch with these guys because they would be thrilled that you're talking about it.
We should. Actually, maybe if he's based in L.A., maybe we'll have him on the show.
I'm sure he is.
We'll check it out.
Yeah, he
might be available.
Because the publicist has actually been emailing us, so let me...
oh, God.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, so let me... we'll have him on, because it was the kind of thing that... It was like, okay, you guys did it right, because we see a lot of these low-budget, especially with horror. Like, I just saw one, because you want to find that diamond in the rough, and 99% of the time you're wrong. Yeah.
The rough.
But, like, The Colony, which was a horrible movie. That's the one that actually had... Lawrence Fishburne and Bill Paxton, and so I'm like, oh, this might be kind of cool. And it was unwatchable.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I watched the whole thing.
Good
yes.
job.
Just wanted to make sure. He's like, well, maybe there's something that'll redeem it. No, there's not. It just gets worse and worse.
I do the same thing. I think Keith makes
so
fun
yes
of me.
To Bad Milo, no to The Colony. And definitely check it out on DVD, or it might be playing in a theater near you too.
All right.
I must ask you guys this, but when you see like a new week comes out, new movies, and you have to see it, and it's your job now. do you sometimes there's nothing to see.
Are you the month of September?
Here we go.
I mean, the month like September.
We're in that area.
we're getting out of it now. But there's two dead zones in like January, February, and September. January, February is the dumping ground because the Oscars picks have been done, so they don't start. Summer movies don't start coming out till like March, April-ish, you know. Right. And then September is like the blockbusters are done, and they haven't released Oscar contenders yet. So like it was a couple weeks of us just going, all right.
What are we
going
to watch?
But that gets, that's when you try to like go see
indie movies,
indie films.
Give them a little bit more.
That's when then you can, there's
attention.
There's always some little indie film out there that you didn't hear of that someone goes, oh, you got to go see this or whatever. That's got a limited release that you can go check out.
Andrew Dice Clay and Blue Jasmine up for an Oscar. Or they don't talk about it yet.
You know what? I think it would be for supporting. I think he might be.
Really?
Like,
I was joking.
Oh yeah.
Isn't that just Dice?
No, it's not. That's what's so amazing. Like in this movie, like that's exactly what you would think going in. Right. Like, oh, it's a, and it answered the question we were talking about. God, what would you do with an aging Andrew Dice Clay? Right. And Woody Allen actually answered the question. Like, oh, this is what you would do with it. Now, can I see him doing that again anywhere else? No, I really think that was it. You know, but I think, I don't know. There's a lot of good movies coming down the pike right now. It might be just
where
you would
just for the acceptance speech.
That would be pretty cool. Yeah.
Hickory dickory dock.
I think it's very unlikely, but he did a nice job in that movie.
All right, we're running out of time. Let's move into DVDs.
DVDs. Okay, The Croods. This is another one of those shovelware kids movies that Mary Ellen Hooper kind of gave a pass on the site. I completely disagreed with her. It was a horrible movie. Yeah.
The children, and what do they know? Next.
Yeah. hey, here's an idea. Don't treat children like assholes with your movie. Mm-hmm. And The Croods did. This is the end.
Did I see that one? Is that the Apatow movie?
Yes.
Okay, so good.
His hilarious movies are always too long, I think, but I loved it.
So good. So good. Start to finish. So good. So good.
Yeah. I have a bugaboo about.
Any filmmakers want to make a 75-minute movie for Keith? Here's your audience.
You go home early. It's win-win. I paid the same price.
Less money to make it. This is the end is great. It's a lot of fun. If you didn't get to see this, guys, in the theater, rent it. It's a blast.
So good. I really thought, okay, how many more jokes do the Apatow people really have? You know, it's kind of the same genre that they created on their own, you know? So good.
And it's like, I went into this movie going, I'm kind of tired of these guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm Seth Rogen. I'm just fucking sick. And I was like, I'm on board, man. You guys keep making movies like this.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. Like, totally. It was, they made fun of themselves. All the little things, like how James Franco is obsessed with Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's like, and little subtle things like,
Freaks for life.
They're drawing straws, and Seth Rogen draws a short straw, and James Franco goes, no! Yeah. Like, just little stuff like that. It's so crazy and hilarious.
So awesome.
Well, who's the dude from Eastbound and Down? He's my favorite. People either love or hate him.
Danny McBride. He's playing the same guy he always does in this movie, but it fits perfectly.
So good.
It fits perfectly.
Little Mermaid. Now, that's if you're trying to figure out which of those movies to show your child, Little Mermaid. I think you'll be okay. That's actually a classic, and it's a really good movie.
It's about a girl that just can't get enough.
Yeah.
Always belly aching about something. Yes. I got this, I got that, I got everything, I need more. I want more.
And legs.
And legs.
Wizard of Oz 3D. I can't imagine anything that people would want less than Wizard of Oz.
The original in 3D.
No,
the original in 3D. Yeah, they converted it.
Do they keep it black and white?
No, I'm kidding. That's the... It's the James Franco one.
Oh, the James Franco one.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
I think, actually, you know what? We're going to look that up because I did hear rumblings about Wizard of Oz being re-released in 3D, but I'm hoping it's not true.
No, I thought that was real. I thought I heard that also.
What's the other one? James
the other
Franco,
one was the James Franco one, although that was that was Oz. That can't be it. So I think
Oz
this
the
might,
Great and Powerful.
Yeah, this might actually be the original, which makes me even sadder.
Can I tell you guys a secret? I enjoyed Oz the Great and Powerful. I saw it on a plane. I had a good time.
So, the worst thing about that movie is that, and that was a long movie.
They give you, there was a lot of boosts on the plane.
Yeah. So,
upgrade.
Yeah. Anyway, The Wizard of Oz 3D is a 3D upgrade to the classic. I think we've.
Well, whatever it is.
Yeah. Whatever it is,
why?
Avoid it. Yeah.
Don't
there's no
this.
Reason to.
People are obsessed with that movie. Why wouldn't they?
Watch the do it.
You don't need it in 3D.
You don't need it in 3D.
How do we feel about colorization, period?
I'm not a fan of colorization, but the original version of this where the movie starts out in black and white, and then when they get to Oz, it's in color.
That's what we're really against.
No, you're an idiot. You're missing the point.
You have to pick when you make a movie, either black and white or color.
I don't know how to go into this movie.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is that's how you should watch the original one. It's interrupted with this nonsense.
I heard this one guy had a black and white TV his whole life, so when he saw that movie, he never understood what was so magical about that moment because he didn't know it turned color.
Oh, that's great.
What are they looking around for? Yeah, same goddamn place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you know?
That's amazing.
How do you know it just looks like
Kansas to me.
Yeah.
What are they, assholes?
Just
a couple of flowers? They don't have that in Kansas?
Yeah. It's just now Dust Bowl with shorter people.
We're not in Kansas anymore. All right, I guess I'll go with that.
It's fine. I don't see the difference.
So coming out this week.
As I said, Gravity looks awesome.
Yeah,
and I think really we're going to do it. Guys, we're going to probably do a spoiler ep of Gravity. Start doing those again.
Should we do a spoiler ep of Runner Runner?
We're going to do two spoiler eps?
No, we're
Johnny
not.
Johnny Overcommit?
No.
Are we doing a festival this weekend?
No, we're not. So Ben Affleck.
I'm excited
Justin
for I like both these. You know, Gravity, I'm very excited for. It looks awesome. Runner Runner is a movie that Ben Affleck directing, I would go, God damn, this looks stupid. But now I'm like, all right, you know, because I don't know. And Justin Timberlake.
He knows his place.
He knows his place.
Yeah, that's a good
you know
way
what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not trying to do more than who he is. And, you know,
he's humble about his movies.
He's humble about who he is. He knows he's made fun of himself as a pop star. Mm-hmm. He's just like, you know, I'm lucky to do that. I don't know. I think this could be interesting. It kind of looks, it might fall into some cliche sort of bad guy revenge twist around. So I don't know, but I think it could be. I'm high. I have hopes for Runner Runner.
You have
All
a
right.
crush on Tim.
I think it could go either way. I think it could go either way. So, and that's it. Why don't we?
Yeah, that's it. We're done.
Oh, we should do endings like that.
Yeah. All right. Goodbye.
Drop the mic.
And
silence. All right. Well, that's cool. That's our show. Thank you guys so much for doing it. Tell our fans where they can, if they don't know who you or where they can find you online, all that stuff.
Please find us on iTunes. It's under Keith and the Girl. Of course, we're at keithandthegirl.com. And Keith's new CD is out. It's the first year that he's done it clean.
Ooh.
Whoa.
And it is so funny and out of his element. You heard, like, I was doing a count. He had about 5 fucks in this. I think Chris had 1.
I get passionate about movies.
2 hours is 2 for fucking long.
If you look up Keith and the Girl on iTunes, you'll find all his CDs. And it's just look at Keith and the Girl. His latest one is called Good Clean Fun.
And guys, if you're in Los Angeles, if you're coming to the festival, these guys do the show out of New York. So it's they don't.
Who are your guests?
Who are our guests? Our guests are listed on a sheet of paper that is, you know, today is the only thing in my brain.
But they're very exciting people.
No, we have Bonnie McFarlane and Rich Voss.
Oh,
we
nice.
We have some people outside of the festival also.
Great.
Peyton Clarkson.
Chris Gore.
Chris Gore, mm-hmm. who's such a nice and cool guy.
That's a good guy.
How'd you get Chris Gore to be a guest?
Are you being sarcastic?
Yes.
Okay.
Chris Gore is camped outside of this door right now.
Yeah.
Hoping one of you guys drops out.
He's very easygoing. He's the Justin Timberlake of people.
Of podcasting. He really is the Justin Timberlake of podcasting.
Yes, yes. He looks great in tight jeans.
Yeah. He'll actually be on a panel with us too, I think.
No, Chris is great. And that sounds like a great show. So guys, if you haven't already, come out to LA Podcast Festival and see Keith and the Girl doing their live show with 39 other shows.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We were so glad to have Keith and the Girl over at the festival this year because we really wanted to add a few more New York podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And with My Wife Hates Me, Keith and the Girl, and Welcome to Night Vale. And actually, Stuff You Should Know, too.
Yeah.
So we've got about 4. Yeah.
It's really exciting to be in LA Podfest. Seriously, I mean, I know I sound like yet more of the commercial for it, but the stuff that you guys have lined up for there, for people who just want to be entertained, people who want to learn more, you guys really have a streamlined system that I really appreciate.
Oh, yes.
And it was such an honor to get that email of you guys asking us to be on. So we're really looking forward to it. We just... we plan on being there start to finish every day because we're that we just want to be there all day.
So much fun, and it's like for me last year doing it was like doing a, it was like being a high school reunion or something. Just seeing all my comic friends, just laughing the whole weekend, meeting all the fans, many of whom we've talked to online or whatever, and getting to see them in person, which I'm sure you guys, you know, you get that when you go on. Yeah, it's awesome.
You get to see
people have been supporting you for years, and you see them, you meet them in person, and that's cool. And just for the fans. They're getting to see all these great comics and performers.
The lineup is crazy. Again, I sound corny, but $99? That's insane.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. The amount of shows that are there.
I know. I know. If you charged $25 a show, you would, and you know, that would be $250, $300.
Because
that would be like $10,000.
Right. Really?
Mancini, man.
It's a $10,000 deal. But really, the hosts themselves are, you know, you would pay at least $25 to see them. Yep. I'm not even talking about us. And then the guests that they have on,
you
pay individually that amount also. I mean, this if you're a comedy fan at all, not even just like podcasting, but podcasting comedy,
if you're a fan of anything, because like there all it's a great there's musical acts coming on some of the shows like Storyworthy is getting a great musical act. We're gonna have from New Kids on the Block Joey McIntyre. yeah, he's gonna be there Saturday.
Talking
at noon.
About movies.
Talking about movies and
how we feel about Justin Timberlake. And
oh my God, that's awesome!
Yeah, he's a buddy of mine. So it's him and Bonnie McFarlane. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, we've got when we posted that, all these women found us on Facebook and they're like, "What is
like
this? What's this podfest? What is this?" We're like, "Come on, check it out!"
Yeah, and it's not like other conventions where you really have to be into that one thing that they're focusing on. This is such a general genre that you can grab a friend who's maybe doesn't listen to the podcast that you listen to or at all. You could still do that.
If you brought someone that didn't know much about podcasting, they would have a blast.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
They were going to recognize somebody there and they're going to have fun at some of this
stuff. They don't need to know who shot who first. It's amazing.
They don't.
I mean, they should. They should.
They should. They show up thinking Greedo shot first. We might ask you to leave.
Yeah. Escort it out.
Yeah, I'm going to say, please. I'm going to sing Please Don't Go Girl and kick you the fuck out. All right, well, that's our show, you guys. Thank you so much, Keith and the girl, for being on it.
Thanks for hanging tough.
Thanks for so that is our show, guys. Like us on Facebook. Go to the snagfilms.com/comedyfilmnerds and share a movie that you watched on Snag, and we'll pick a winner and you'll get a free pass. So do it now before Friday.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini, and as always, remember,
Han shot first. Bye, Ricky.